Namaste and welcome to everyone again. We're just trying to catch up on some of the latest things. I just got an email from Yogendra Das today, and he said, congratulations, the second book is done. So he's going to send it to me by email today, and it will be downloaded to disk, and then we'll see about getting it printed out. So I have a secondary book out. Yeah. He even put the newest writing on there, the one I did about the butterfly and things, so he put that on there as well. So most of the writings from the site have been downloaded, put in book form, categorized, so it'll be very easy to find what you're looking for. So I have one book out that's strictly on Kundalini, Kundalini from Hell to Heaven, and then I have the second one that is a collection of the rest of the things that are on site. It will include some, I think, on Kundalini as well, but it's also more generalized for the path and information and things about that. So, like I was saying before, we have, so far that I know of, Shivasundari Das and Jati Das, Gyaneshwar, and Premadas have decided to take sannyas. And so that will be happening January 10th. I don't know if you were here to hear about what the sannyas. Okay. So this is coming up soon. January 10th, yeah. Yeah. Take a deep breath and blow out. You will survive. Upon death, yes. So once again, it's good to see everyone here. And without further ado, we will go ahead and begin. If you could put this in the satsang bowl. Oh, we do have a number of things here. Okay. For people that are listening to the CD, we do, when people come in, they're putting in questions into the satsang bowl. Since you cannot be here, if you would email me directly with your question, it will go into the satsang bowl to be put on CD with the rest of the questions. Okay, first question is, what is the inner guru? Okay. Would you like to expound upon that a little bit more by what you're asking about what is the inner guru? Okay. Can you give her the mic, please?
On your site, you were talking about the inner guru as being part of the goal and manifesting a relationship with the inner guru. So I was hoping you would expand on that.
Okay. Yeah, inner guru and outer guru are one. So what they're relating to when they say the inner guru, it's that ultimate truth which you are. That divine beingness which you are. That perfection which you are when the rest of all this garbage has been collected around it is stripped away. The external guru is there to connect you to the internal guru. And when the guru says that what I am, you are, that's what they mean. They don't mean external personality-wise, any of that garbage. They're talking about ultimate core of being is the same. The only difference between myself and you is I know what's there. You don't as yet. That's all. There is no higher, no lower. There's only that. Now, people have this mistaken idea. Well, if there's an inner guru, then I don't need an external guru. But then every guru will tell you, yes, you need an external guru. Why? Because the inner guru is still covered over. You're still operating through the senses, through mind, through feelings. If you can get far enough that you can dispel enough of those, then maybe you can have inner guidance. But even if you're getting inner guidance from the inner guru, you still need to check with the external guru to make sure it's not coming from ego, something you want to hear versus something that's correct. You may be getting quite correct guidance from the inner guru, but it's still good to check along the way to make sure. So this is why they say, you know, once you reach realization, and if you are surrendered 100% to your guru, you become your guru. Because there's only one truth in realization. There's only one, what they term self, which I say is a bit of a misnomer. Because when you go into realization, there is no sense of a personality type of a self. It's formless, complete is, which is perfection as it is. And there's only one. This is why every guru that's a sat guru is the same. There's only one guru. There's only one inner self. There's only one true reality, which is that point of being. Okay? Go on to the next one. Is there anything else that anybody would have questions on about this? Okay, then we'll move on. Does itching in the chakras and spine mean anything? Bodily awareness of where different chakra centers would be located, supposedly. It means you're focusing on your body too much. It means you're focusing on the body too much. All of these things, you know, chakras and everything, that's fine. And you will feel different things correlating in your body. But the first thing I try to get people out of is body awareness and try to get them into the consciousness of it. Because each different type of a chakra relates to a different type of a layer of consciousness. So it's better to focus on what that layer of consciousness is and getting to the root of it rather than focusing on body awareness. Okay. That helps to relieve some of the things that are going on within the body as you go through the process. Because if you're relating to a lot of body awareness and people are trying to push energy through chakras, they're not understanding the psychology of things that are going on. And they're creating a lot of havoc within their physical form. And you need to clear up the conscious awareness of what's going on, what you're encountering. So we will move on to the next question. Using self effort to go to the effortlessness of no self, witness state, please explain. Okay. Ah, this is a good one. This comes up to also another thing I wanted to touch on today, which is surrender. Effortless effort comes under the heading also, again, of surrender. We give you tools to begin to connect. And yes, somebody has to, you have to put in effort in the beginning to reach an effortless state. There's effort in the beginning to put into motion tools and things that will take you to stillness of mind or meditative states. Eventually, it will become effortless. You no longer need to do anything. The tools you give that you're given are bridges. When you cross the bridge, you don't need to drag the bridge along with you. Once you've crossed, you let it drop. Everything that's given is given you as a tool to enter into this stillness, into pure awareness, without content, without clinging to something. When you reach that, then you let go. Then it becomes effortless. It becomes effortless. They also call surrender the path of effortless non-doership. But most people equate surrender with, well, I'm surrendering as long as it fits into my dynamic. They're not fully surrendered. Full surrender means whatever comes, it comes. You don't run away from it. You don't have an aversion to it. You don't desire something else. You are totally 100% surrendered and not fighting against it, not kicking against it. But if something comes in your life and you say, no, I want this to be changed, you're not surrendered. If Guru tells you something and you go, well, wait a minute, I don't know if this is going to fit in my life or not, you're not surrendered. Surrender is very difficult. People think, oh, all I have to do is I'm not going to do anything and do whatever I want in my daily life. But that's not surrender. That's not surrender at all. That's still acting through ego. Effortless awareness is just seeing what's coming without reacting to it, without desiring something else, without pulling away, without trying to change it, to allow it to come and be as it is. This will draw you eventually into witness state and into a deeper self-inquiry, which then starts to take place on its own and continues in motion. But actual surrender is not an easy thing. I had somebody that said, well, surrender is not standing out on a highway and allowing the truck to come and hit you. I go, yeah, it is. You know, basically, yeah, it's even worse than that. Because the moment before realization, sometimes you can have that greatest absolute terror that you're going to cease to exist. 100%. If you go any further, surrender is in not going and pulling back. Surrendering to that and say, if it comes, then let it come. And then in that moment, you find out that it was the last great illusion, death, that feeling of that impending death, that terror that I'm going to cease to exist. You find out that your existence was the greatest illusion. That sense of ego self was the greatest illusion. It's a covering. It's nothing more. So yeah, people don't understand really what is surrender, what is... they say you surrender to your guru, you surrender to God. So whatever comes in your life is for your betterment, one way or another. Either to challenge you to look deeper or to break through something, to tear away what you're hanging on to that you don't need. It's not always pleasant. People think, well, if I surrender, then God should only give me good experiences in my life. That's conning God. You can't con God. That's the con. Well, no, it's becoming difficult, so. And it is going to become difficult. Because in total surrender, when you totally surrender in the path, what needs to be pulled away is going to be pulled away. What you need to confront is going to be full on in your face to be seen. It's going to become more difficult before it becomes more easy. But if you can learn to surrender in those difficult times, then you will make very quick progress, very, very fast progress. So what they say, Kali and Shiva are there to pull away. They're the destroyers. It's not destruction in a bad way. It's destruction of the things that you don't need in your life. Destruction of the things that is keeping you bound. but you may be clinging to tenaciously, saying, oh no, you don't understand, I need to have this in my life. This is what keeps my security. But anytime you're attempting to cling to security, what happens? You're out of control. If you totally let go, and there's no longer any clinging to anything, then you found out there was never a need to cling. But as things are being torn away, one feels that loss of control. This is why a lot of fear comes up in the path, because you feel this loss, this sense of loss of control. I need to control. And people are thinking, oh yeah, realization is easy. They think it's just, I'm going to become a better person, a more expanded person. No, you find out you go through the death before death. It's what it is. And then you find out that death was the greatest illusion. There is no death. But you have to experience that directly. In order to experience that directly, things are going to be torn away. All your sense of control, the sense of comfort in my life, what I want, what I desire, what I think I need, all of this is based around what I, me, my. A way to keep us safe, but in bondage and prisons of our own making. So yes, eventually any of the practices are to take you to stillness or to ultimately surrender. You can surrender knowingly, or you can surrender eventually kicking and screaming, being backed into a corner where you just cannot go forward anymore. Either you've collected so much pain and garbage that you have no choice but to say, I give. And then you start on the path. Either that or you can start letting go. So ultimately, no matter which way it happens, it's still mercy and grace in the end. Because you don't gain liberation until you reach that point of giving up or surrender. Some of us have to go there kicking and screaming and fighting and trying to gather and collect and control until everything is stripped away and there is no way for us to any longer control. It's also grace, the left-handed blessing. My suggestion is you take the right-handed blessing instead of having the universe have to do it for you. But once you make a commitment on the path, it's going to take place one way or another, either the hard way or the harder way. Because it never seems like an easy way when you're going through it. But the end is liberation. And it doesn't matter how hard it was, you see that it was nothing. Nothing compared to the liberation and what remains. No matter how much hardship you go through on the path, it's nothing once you reach that liberation. So let's continue on. Does anyone have any questions about that? Comments? We have such a silent room today. If everything that happens is meant to be, can you explain suicide? That comes under free will. People come in with free will. You have free will to remain here. People commit suicide under free will. It's not a smart thing to do. They'll have to re-encounter the lessons that they're opting out from now. And when they get to the other side, they will have a review and know they've thrown away a good chance at their life, a good chance to progress. When they get to the other side, they find out now they don't have a body to work things out with. And they may be in some sense of turmoil. Many suicides, sometimes they find themselves earthbound for some time because there's no death. They think, oh, this is going to be death and I'm opting out and there will be nothing. But all they do is lose the body. They're still in the same turmoil. They could still be caught in the same turmoil. So it's not that people come in and you have a destiny and your destiny is suicide. No.
So it's not like, say before you incarnate, that you know you're not going to make it.
No. You come in to, you know, progress on your path and to learn certain lessons. Maybe you get in and then you figure out you bit off more than you can chew. You know, you come in. Because when you come in, understand, you come into a body with certain tendencies. You have certain tendencies. But what happens in that lifetime depends on how these tendencies grow, what kind of conditioned ideas you're going to pull into your life this time around. But there's always free will. You have the free will to surrender, or you have the free will to not. You can either surrender and have God's will, or you can continue to try to say, I'm the one that needs to control. And when we find out you can't control and you're not willing to surrender, then there's depression. Okay. So no, suicide is never something you come in with and there's that divine plan that you're going to commit suicide. No. Uh-uh. That comes under free will. People have free will. Once again, to either surrender, to move according, you know, to God's will, which is within the flow of life, or to attempt to control your life and find out that you're out of control. So it's all, they will learn something from it, but it's a hard lesson to learn that you've thrown away a chance. You've thrown away your opportunity this time around. Because they're really not getting out of anything. What they're opting to get out of, eventually they'll have to face in one way, shape, or another in another incarnation. They'll come in and that will be the same type of lesson. Okay. Is it normal to go out just for a moment while doing daily activities? Whose is this? Ah. On this path, yeah. You fall over. I mean, totally out. My suggestion is first go to a doctor, have it checked, make sure it's not something organic that's happening. And if it's not that, then it means, yeah, just totally your consciousness is going out for a moment and the body is just totally relaxed and falling over. But we'll talk more on this later. But go first. If something like this is going on, go first and have a thorough examination with your doctor to make sure it's not something organic, that it's not developing something like narcolepsy or, you know, some type of a epilepsy type situation. And barring that, then yeah, it could be something that's starting to open up and your consciousness is just going out for a time and the body's just totally relaxed and you're not having any connection to the form. So, yeah. Definitely get that checked, though, first. Anyone that's going through very strange symptomology, I ask them, please first go to a physician and have it checked out. And if it's not something that's going on organically, then it can be something that's going on with Kundalini and this awakening. Because I know you're starting to have some symptomology of the Kundalini awakening as well. But in this early stage, definitely go and be checked first. Okay. Okay, Kundalini Yoga versus Kundalini the Path. A lot of people are taking Kundalini Yoga, and they're being taught a lot of asanas, and I think they're also be given pranic breathing. Yes? But this is not the same as having an awakened Kundalini. I wish they would change the name of it. Because unfortunately, some people that do wind up with an awakened Kundalini go to these yoga teachers to try to get help, and they don't know anything. They don't know the first thing about Kundalini. I had one man that contacted me from Canada with Yogi Bhajan's certified Kundalini yoga teacher for 5 years, knows nothing about Kundalini. He was going to come down and take Diksha. He bailed out. He didn't show up. But there have been many of these Kundalini yoga teachers that wound up activating Kundalini. And I've heard they are winding up sitting in a corner of the room shaking because they don't know what to do with it once it's open. Unfortunately, they're not teaching them what the Kundalini path is. Once Kundalini opens and it begins, then you need to stop doing the organized practices. Because what you're doing with these organized practices, you're attempting to force energy into pathways maybe it's not ready to go. So once Kundalini actually awakens, you'll find yourself doing the asanas and the mudras that need to be done for yourself. Within your path, it will spontaneously occur. It will naturally happen. And to continue to do a programmed hatha yoga practice, unfortunately, you're trying to push it into other areas you may not be ready for to open at the time. So it's really not advisable. It's fine. You can do the hatha, you can do the other things until it awakens. But once it awakens, if you're going through spontaneous kriyas, you need to quit doing these other established practices because they can be, instead of beneficial, they can be quite harmful along the way. The Kundalini path itself, once the Kundalini awakens, it starts to unlock all the cellular memory. It starts to clear out all the different layers of conscious awareness. All the garbage we've collected, it starts to clean it out. So you'll have a lot of manifestations happening. You know, you'll go through a lot of emotional upheavals. A lot of things will come to the surface in the beginning. Every layer you go through, it will stir the mud of that layer and it'll start to disperse it. And you'll go through each different layer. You'll clean one layer, and then all of a sudden the next layer comes up, and you go, what happened? I thought I was progressing. Now I feel like I'm not progressing. But no, it's just a different layer. It's a different. So you'll go through many different layers. And you'll feel a lot of things, like I said, in body, because it's unlocking things that have been stored there. Within the physical form, you'll feel it, subtle form. So yeah, this is the path, the Kundalini path is the path to realization, where you go beyond body, beyond mind, into that absolute, which is the core of being. And once you reach into that absolute, which is the core of being, it blows out all the conditioned ideas. It blows out this sense of ego self. When I say ego, I don't mean like egotistical, like you're full of yourself. When I say ego, it means this attachment to believing we are this finite form of body, or that we are these thoughts, or that we are this these emotions that are appearing. We are not any of those things. We are that which is aware of them, that which makes it possible to have them. We are that infinite potential, which is always pure and untouched by any of the actions that happen in physical planes. So the Kundalini path is coming to know that, who and what you are at the core. But more importantly, what you're not. When everything that you're not has fallen away, what's left is what you are. And that is liberation. How would one recognize when they're having an awakening? You may feel heat in the spine. You might feel tingling. You might start to see colors. You might start to hear sounds. Different phenomena is going to start taking place.
You might start speaking Sanskrit one day.
Yeah, you could do that as well. Yeah, you might find yourself speaking Sanskrit.
That's always a surprise when you start speaking Sanskrit and your girlfriend types in the word you're saying into the internet. Google is one way to find out if you're having an awakening. Mm-hmm. Just type in a Google search engine, it comes back Sanskrit. So that's always a shocker.
Yeah, you might find... That's an obvious one, yeah. So you might find yourself, starting to mumble unintelligible, like some different things will start coming, or the body might start moving on its own. You might find yourself doing yogic moves, and you've never studied any kind of hatha or anything in your life, and all of a sudden these asanas are starting to flow. Just a number of different ways. You might just have really different shifts in conscious awareness all of a sudden. You might start feeling like you're really tall or you're really short, or you're, just different manifestations will begin to appear. Or starting, if you're doing Reiki, this is some of the things, this is why it's so important that we get more teachers. Why so many more people are starting to have Kundalini awakenings now, awakening this energy, which starts to unlock all of this different layers of consciousness. It used to be that practices like Tai Chi or Reiki energy work or things like rebirthing, all of these other things that you can buy on any street corner now, they used to be only for select individuals that were ready. They weren't given out to the masses. It required years of dedication and initiation to come to a point to receive any of that. Now it's given out to whoever has the money to pay for it. And unfortunately, people are not apprised as to what it's attempting to wake up. What is the final goal? They're only given Reiki, you can go out and heal people. It's the universal energy.
Can you do the Reiki initiation just like you can buy on the street? What the Diksha is similar to it.
The Diksha is similar to the Reiki when they infuse the symbols and open up the channel, supposedly. Can you do that as well, or
what a satguru gives is what Reiki's highest initiation is master attunement. A Reiki master, what it's supposed to be, is one that has gone beyond the mind and the identifications. That's a realized being. That would come up to being a Satguru. Unfortunately, there are very few in Reiki that really understand what's being given. It's really supposed to be opening to a spiritual path. And that spiritual path is supposed to take you to mastership or being a Satguru, being a realized being.
And that's essentially what the Diksha.
So along the way, that's what Diksha is. Diksha is to awaken Kundalini. The Reiki is there to awaken that energy within you. And there are supposed to be different levels of Reiki according to your conscious attainment, where you have gone so far, how far you have moved ahead. But this part of it has not been kept up with. Now they just give it out, okay, there's this. We'll give you this symbology, and then we'll give you the next symbology, and we'll give you the next symbology. But they're not monitoring the people where their consciousness level has gone to. They're just giving it out indiscriminately according to the dollars rather than ethically and really working with the people to understand what it is that they're entering. It's not that I have something against Reiki in itself. It's fine. It's another path to opening. It's another way to opening. But you have to understand what this energy is there to do. It's there to unlock this consciousness, unlock this awareness, to take you through these different levels. It's not only about collecting powers and things so you have more control in your life. It's once again a process of stripping away. It's another process that's geared to awakening Kundalini. This is not being taught. This is not being expressly given. I don't think the founder of it was remiss. I think the people that took over for him and then started selling it, they took out a lot of really what he was trying to expound upon. So we have a lot of people in the world, due to having Reiki done or being Reiki practitioners or ones that are entering doing Tai Chi or doing a lot of these Qigong, or there are a number of different energy practices out there being given that can and will awaken Kundalini. And once Kundalini is awakened, you need to understand what this process is and how to work through it. Because if you start having all of this stuff discharging, and a lot of stuff is going to discharge, a lot of feelings, a lot of emotional upheaval, anything that's been repressed is going to come out, and it's going to be warped in the beginning, and you're going to be thinking these horrible thoughts, where is this coming from? And if you start chasing that, you can wind up in a hospital. You can wind up hospitalized because you think you're going insane. And you need to find a way to stay centered. You need to understand what is happening and why it's happening. Why all of a sudden you're seeing colors? Why all of a sudden the perceptual change? One minute you're feeling tall, and the next minute you shrunk, next minute you're expanded, next minute you're... You have to understand this process. Because if all of a sudden this stuff is waking up and you don't know what's going on, you're going to be going to doctors. They're going to be putting you on heavy medications. It's going to make you even more toxic. And you can wind up in serious problems. That's why so many sages said you never awaken the Kundalini by yourself. You need to be under the guide of a guru, because it can lead to madness and death. It can lead to madness or death. It's not a joke. It's not something for somebody to do on the weekends as a pastime, as a diversion in their life. This path must be taken very seriously. Yes, it's a path to liberation. Absolutely. And you wouldn't trade it for anything. But you have to be willing to understand the consequences of this path and the hardships that come along with it along the way. You have to understand that. Very important. Do you have any other questions on that? Did that?
What triggers awakening?
Okay. As I just said, some things that can trigger awakening is doing energy work or having energy work done on you. Being around somebody that's already in an awakening can sometimes trigger it. Rebirthing has been known to trigger. Any real heavy shock to the system can trigger it. It causes a jolt, and this can awaken this. Some women have gone through childbirth, it's been triggered. Just having an absolute devotion to God can trigger it. Wanting to know truth beyond all things can trigger it, can open. Many of the great saints had Kundalini awakenings. They were very introspective. Their path was internal. It was introspective. Ones like Father Pio that had many of the cities, these things happening. Saint Teresa of Lisieux. If you read her things, she was in a Kundalini awakening. The same manifestations I had in the beginning she had. Same thing. Hearing the hundreds of birds in the trees and there are no birds there. It was a Kundalini awakening. Many of the great saints that are written about, and during their time they weren't understood. They weren't understood, and it's not spoken of. Unfortunately, it's not understood, it's not spoken of enough in Christian modality. But yes, same thing. It's an internal search. If you have that great internal search and longing to know God, this process can awaken. And it's going to strip the layers bare until nothing remains except God. So those are a few things that can trigger. You're welcome. Okay. Guileless, artless meaning. Would somebody like to explain this a little more? What you're asking?
In reading the Gospel of Ramakrishna, he always talks about how important it is to have no guile or to be artless. And I was just wondering what your interpretation of that would be.
Okay, yeah, that's simple. This is what I call being transparent, being ethical, being honest, not having an agenda, hiding nothing. It's the same thing, guileless, artless. You have to learn to be totally open. Okay? Because if you're sitting there saying, well, no, this part of my life is not open and it's, you know, it's private, whatever. Okay? That's revolving around what? I, me, ego, keeping myself safe, keeping that box around there where I'm, you know, and we have to let go of that box. No matter how frightening it is, we have to be willing to be open and transparent and let go and not collect anything, not hold anything any longer. To live your highest knowledge always, to give your best always. Okay. Oh, here it is. Transparency. What is the full meaning? Moving right along. Ba-dum-bum. See how the universe works. Yeah, same thing. Transparency is just being totally open and honest without anything hidden. There's nothing that needs to be hidden. Every person on the planet has the same hopes, fears, etc. Everyone on the planet comes from the same essence, the same seed. But the only way we're going to find that seed, that essence, is to be willing to let go of all the stuff we're collecting and we're keeping around ourselves. We have to go beyond this ego identification. We need to go beyond trying to keep this ego safe, trying to keep our, you know, when we find out, when we lose everything, what happens? Yeah, the process of losing it is scary. But once it's gone, there's freedom. In one sense, we think we need to have all this garbage with us, and we drag it along, and it's a burden, and when it's gone, what? Process of losing it may be scary, but then there's freedom. I'm not having to drag this heavy thing along with me. The more that we gather and collect, the more difficult it is. Unfortunately, people that have a lot of money, what happens? They're worried about how they're going to keep it. They're gathering, collecting, and oh, I have to have the latest fashion, or I'm going to be judged, or I have to have this, or I have to have that. What is it? It's a bondage in the end. Do you really need to have the latest fashion? Do you need to have the newest car? Do you need to have all of this stuff you're gathering and collecting? And the more you gather and collect, the more drama it brings in behind it. The more layers you put on. The more baggage you're going to have to take with you and keep track of. Because, oh Lord, what happens now if I lose it? And when it's gone, you find that freedom. So yeah. Transparency is nothing more than this, being willing to let go of all this stuff you've gathered and collected. Being open. The fences and walls that you've built up around yourself, right? You have to be willing to let go of those. And you'll find out that they were bondages in the end. Rather than keeping you safe, because you put them in place to keep you safe. You think you're going to have safety if they're in place. You find out they've become prisons rather than safety nets. So yeah, it's stepping out of that comfort zone and finding out that comfort zone was a prison of your own making. And I realize it's difficult to start opening the life. But this is one thing that I stress on my site. Anybody writing, it's right there up front that says, if you write, it doesn't matter if you write to me privately, all letters are subject to being posted. No, I'm not charging a fee for anyone to be on these sites. There is no fee for that. There is no monetary fee. The fee is much more than monetary. The fee is you have to be open and transparent within your own life, because then you find out that other people are also having the same questions, also seeking the same answers. So while your experience appears to be very unique to you, other people are also having the same types of experiences, and they're also locked in the same boxes. And you find out you're not alone in this. And if there was no open, transparent sharing of that on the sites, what would happen? You would still be locked in that idea that I'm going through this by myself and nobody else in the world is experiencing this. So this is why I say that it has to be posted openly. Now, for new people, yeah, I do take their name off of it. But even then, they're like, oh my God, they can't be put out there. Why not? Nobody knows who you are. It's anonymous. What is this such a big fear? What is such a big fear concerning this? Be willing to be open without guile, without agendas, without ulterior motives. Live from that center of truth that you have. Live your highest truth that you have at the moment. Give the best you can give in this moment. And then I guarantee at night when you go to sleep, you'll have nothing against you eating away at you. Life becomes so much more simplistic when you're willing to let go of clinging to all of this stuff. Clinging to the fears, what will somebody think about me? How will I be judged? What's going to... People are going to judge no matter what you do. You can't make everyone in the world happy. I don't care who and what you are. Even Mother Teresa has those that say she was in it for the publicity. Hello? You can't make everyone happy. Huh? So you live your highest truth from where you are and let go of the rest. You cannot control what somebody else thinks about you. They're going to live out of their own fears and paranoias or whatever. They project from their own experience. It's like some people will come, if they've had a bad experience with a guru, then all of a sudden I'm the worst person on the face of the planet because I'm a guru. Has nothing to do with me. Has to do with their past experience with someone else. They project it here. Okay, they're projecting it here, but this is their stuff. So you can't control how somebody's going to view something. You can only act honestly and ethically in your own life. You cannot go out there. I have no desire to go out and save the planet. This is not my mission. There's nothing to save. They already have that inner perfection within them. The layers need to be stripped away, and they have to come to the point where they're ready to do that. You can't do it for them. You can't make it happen in their life. They're the ones that have to be willing to let go. But you can be there to help give them the guidance when they are ready. But you can't force it on the world. Each will come to it within their own timing. And those of us that have already gone through that process, when people are ready to awaken, when they're ready to stop dropping the layers, when they've reached that point where they can't go any further, total exhaustion, and now they're seeking answers, then you can be there. But if they're still in the process of gathering and collecting or self-destruction, that's their free will. We can give what we can give. You give what you can give. But you can't be attached to the results of that giving, because that's up to free will of the person that's being given to. Whether they see it in a positive or a negative, all you can do is be clear within yourself as to that you're giving the best you can give. Eventually you reach the flow. it's not coming from a personal desire, it's not coming from an agenda, it's not coming from this mental garbage. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people come into this and they want to be givers. They want to be martyrs. All of this stems from a sense of I. It's another sense of gathering, collecting, a way to feel good about yourself. I'm not speaking of that type of giving. I'm talking about the giving that remains, the seva that remains once you reach realization, which is a flow. You give the highest that you can give from that level of knowledge of reality versus being caught up in Maya. You give from that layer of knowing that once realization is reached, that then everything becomes real. But it becomes real that it's the play of God's. God's unfolding, God's. So that's a very different aspect of seeing and knowing versus that of Maya, where you're trapped in illusion and suffering and pain. For the liberated one, doesn't mean you don't have pain, that you feel physical pain, but there's no suffering attached to it. There's no longer connection that needs to keep the body in place. If it goes, it goes. It's form. It doesn't matter. If I'm in form, I'm out of form. It doesn't matter. So there's a vast difference in that consciousness. This is where the Kundalini path is geared to finding that consciousness and that reality. It's there. It's already there. It's just covered over. It's not that you're going to go from where you are and become a better person until you become God. This is kind of that New Age philosophy. You're not going to become anything. You're going to tear away the layers till you find out that you are already that which you are seeking. You are already inherently that. We just need to weed the garden. So I thank you for coming today. We'll do maybe a short meditation. We'll take a break first. There's hot water and things. If anybody wants to make tea, there's, you know, you can make tea that's available, or take a bathroom break, and then we'll do a short meditation. So namaste, and thank you for coming.